Yo, what's up? This is Michael the Child.
Fast, 400 on the dash, 55 bills, but 50 for the taste on the bag. I don't really like to brag.
You already know what it is. You're listening to the Dana Cortez Show podcast.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
DJ Automatic Anthony, are you guys football fans? College football fans?
Of course. I'm a former football player and former coach.
Of college football?
His nickname is Uncle Rico.
Back in 82, I used to be able to.
I played one semester of college football. All right, I almost made the traveling team, but I sprained my ankle, guys.
Welcome to the WTF story on the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
I'm not Uncle Rico, he is.
Oh, that was gross. I felt so filthy saying that out loud. I'm Anthony A.
And I'm DJ Automatic.
So college football fan Carson King, he's 24 years old. He held up a sign during the ESPN College Game Day on national TV. You know the sign that everybody wants to make the sign.
I love the witty sign. That's great. Yes.
Yeah, it's great. He came up with this sign. It read, Bush Light Supply needs replenished. He's like, I need some beer. It included his Venmo username.
Nice. There we go, Carson.
Oh,
there we go, baby.
Well, Carlson King didn't think too much about it, but here's the deal. Within 40 minutes, he had $400 deposited into his Venmo.
Oh, damn.
So he's like, you know what? This is funny. Whatever. I'm just going to continue watching the game and enjoying myself. As of today, the contributions have reached more than $1 million.
Get out of here.
What? Over $1 million?
$1 million that he created with 50 cents because the poster board cost that much, and he spent $3 on a Sharpie.
I need to start putting my Venmo name everywhere. DJ Automatic, hit me with that money, y'all.
How much did you pay for your degree? Jesus.
Tens of thousands of dollars, and this guy spent 50 cents, and he got $1 million out of it.
For Bush Light beer.
So after speaking with his family, Carson has decided to give the money to the University of Iowa Family Children's Hospital.
Oh, that's amazing. Aww. That's amazing.
Somebody's got to keep some of it.
He says he's keeping the cost of one case of Bush Light.
He must be paid because I would have been like, yeah, I'm going to keep $999,000.
Well, Mr. Degree, Sally Mae would have took all of it. That's your WTF. We'll be right back with more of the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Picture this. You're in this great new relationship, and here comes your ex writing on your social media saying he wishes he was in bed with you. This is not a fake story. This is the story of Chris Brown over the weekend and Rihanna, his ex-girlfriend. Dana Cortez Show is on. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
And I go by Anthony A.
I really thought it was done. Like, I thought Chris Brown was done reaching. I thought he was done messing with Rihanna. Rihanna's doing her thing. She got a new man in her life. She just produced one of the best fashion shows in the history of fashion, period. I mean, a woman did a dance skit.
Chris Brown trolling is very humorous to me. And speaking for all men, we all wanted to be that lamp.
Okay, so
in the photo,
let me explain what's going on. Rihanna's laying down in her Fenty lingerie, looking like Rihanna does, fine as hell, just looking beautiful. And she's turning around, looking at the camera. She's got a lamp in the bed. And Chris Brown says, I want to be that lamp. And then put a bunch of emojis and all this little stuff on there. And the Navy, that's Rihanna's fans, for those of you who don't know, went crazy. They're still going crazy right now. Angry that Chris Brown did that. Like, how dare you? She's got boyfriend.
It made me chuckle. What's a big deal?
I mean, in all reality, it's a ploy by Chris Brown for us to talk about him, to keep him relevant.
Oh,
I mean, he is relevant. He's got one of the biggest songs out right now, the song with Drake. But this is what he's doing. He got exactly what he wanted. He wants us to talk about him.
But it's not just Chris Brown and Rihanna. A lot of people do this kind of thing. Like, you have an ex who trolls your social media and goes in comments. Honestly, Chris Brown, we know Chris Brown's going to troll. He's going to do whatever. If you post a sexy photo or whatever photo, I don't care if you could be in a turtleneck, and your ex goes and drops a comment that's disrespectful to your current boyfriend or your current girlfriend, do you want your boyfriend or girlfriend to say something to your ex?
Ooh.
If I post something and one of my exes comes around and says something crazy, Otto, are you going to say something? Let's take the phones. I want you to ask yourself the question. Hit us up. 833-DANA-SHOW. You might be starting to fight if you say yes, but then if your boyfriend or girlfriend doesn't say anything,
you don't want to be a punk.
Are they allowing you to
be
disrespected?
Be a punk,
I think it's all about how you approach it.
Well, it's all about the phone calls. 833-DANA-SHOW. We'll be right back with your calls next. It's the Dana Cortez Show. Chris Brown left an inappropriate message underneath Rihanna in lingerie, her photo on Instagram, and her fans are not feeling it. But how does her boyfriend feel about it? Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
And I go by Anthony A.
So it's not just about Rihanna and Chris Brown, though. I want to ask you, you know, how would you feel if your new girlfriend or boyfriend's ex comes and writes something underneath their photo, like, I wish I was in bed with you? That's what Chris Brown wrote.
How would you feel if somebody did that to me?
I mean, I would feel completely disrespected, but you know damn well I wouldn't say anything. I would never say. What do you mean that's whack? I'm not going to be lifting my fingers over somebody.
I think that's the adult way to go about it, though.
Ah, dude, you got a certain homies crossing the line. Like,
trust me, 18-year-old me would have gone and found somebody. But at this age, there's no reason to even start all the drama.
That's me at
any age.
Oh,
because you can't punch like you used to?
No.
You out of shape a little bit more?
No. You see me in the gym.
I know. Barely.
Here's my thing. I've never been that person. I'm not willing to lift a finger. Well, for what?
I
what am I going to do? Why am I going to dirty my nails or break a nail or ruin my weave here?
That's the female side of it, right? Now, let's just hypothetically say I'm Rihanna's boyfriend. Let's
real hypothetical.
Yeah, let's say that.
That's a super hypothetical.
Anthony, that's super hypothetical.
Let's go with that. I'm going to say Chris Brown going to have to see me in public. I'm not going to get messy on a TL. I'm not going to do that. But when I see you,
people look stupid when you're online and you're fighting with somebody.
There's nothing gangster.
Especially as a grown man.
Grown man, you shouldn't be Twitter thumbing. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't be doing that.
You know what? Let's go to the phone lines. We have Jazz. She's been holding from San Antonio. Okay, let's say you post a cute photo and your ex comes to your Instagram or Facebook page and writes underneath, "Ooh, I wish I was in bed with you." Would you want your boyfriend to say something to your ex?
Thinking about it, no.
You would want your boyfriend to completely ignore it.
I wouldn't want him to say anything because in their situation, they are such in the public eye, you know, and that because Chris Brown is such a piece of dirtbag, then it's like rise above it. Like if it wasn't Chris Brown and there was someone who was actually like a reputable person who made some like idiot comment, then yeah, say something. But if Chris Brown, it's like not even worth the breath.
You're like, don't even lower your standards, baby. Don't worry about it.
What if it would have been Drake saying it?
Okay. Well, then maybe.
If it was Drake, she would have said, pull up.
I'm saying. If it were Drake, I would have said, pull up. Okay, so
yes, exactly.
I can understand that. But with Chris Brown, like, don't even waste your breath. He's such a piece. Like, he is reaching for some popularity. He needs some points. Right,
I think it's crazy that you said that because I agree. I think that if you put the effort in to block or to answer someone back, you're showing them that you give a damn. If you ignore, I don't even care.
Yeah.
You write whatever you want. I'm busy. Yeah. I'm busy with my billionaire boyfriend.
So if your ex was writing on your thing, you wouldn't want Automatic to comment back?
No, I wouldn't want Automatic to comment back. For what?
I don't think, I wouldn't comment back. For what? At this point, I mean, we've been married for over a decade. That guy's wasting his time and his breath.
Yeah. Brianna's out with her billionaire boyfriend eating good and having a good time, and
Chris Brown is really trying to be credible right now.
I agree.
He 100 wants people talking about him because his career is not as strong as Rihanna.
Not even close.
He is reaching.
I want you guys
thirsty.
to look at the comment. Go to @DanaCortez on Instagram, Dana Cortez Show on Facebook, and answer the question: would you want your current boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, to say something to your ex if they wrote something like this on your social media? We'll be right back with more of the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Tekashi 6ix9ine has turned federal witness, man.
Stupid.
And the whole world is talking about snitching. Welcome to the debate at 8, only here on the Dana Cortez Show. Good morning, I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A. And mind you, Sam, the bull guy snitched, right? Every major mafia person has snitched. And we are talking about this Tekashi thing. And the thing that's irking me about this is how every normal person's talking about, like, if they've ever faced federal charges.
I recall that a real OG, Martha Stewart, ain't never snitched on nobody.
Okay.
You do have a very good point there.
Thank you.
I saw
Thank
that
you
in
very
a meme
much.
Yesterday.
Thank you very much.
Stop trying to make Martha Stewart tougher than Tekashi.
It's true.
Well, she is.
She is.
But here's the thing that's irking me about this whole situation is Tekashi's a kid who got taken advantage of by older gang members, and now he's facing federal charges for some people who were already sleeping with his baby mama, stole $3 million from him, and you want to take 47 years for those guys? Any normal person in any situation would snitch. So anybody.
Let's talk about this and we come back. I think the debate should be any type of snitching. Is it ever okay, whether it's work snitching, whether it's snitching to the feds, turning state's witness? I mean, you got to keep yourself clean.
Those
you
are big differences there.
Well, no, hey, she's right, though.
Snitching is snitching.
But I think every person in America was raised on nobody likes a tattletale.
Don't
so
be
you're,
telling.
You're right about that. But then I got to protect myself.
To snitch or not to snitch, that's the debate. We'll continue right after this. It's the Dana Cortez Show. Today's debate here on the Dana Cortez Show is all about Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Stupid.
Who has turned federal witness. Now he's, you know, in court in New York telling on everybody from Jim Jones to Cardi B to admitting that he tried to put a hit on Chief Keef.
Yeah, that was dumb. The humorous part of this is that he called Jim Jones a retired rapper.
He did. Even from jail, he's still a troll. I'm Dana Cortez, y'all.
DJ Automatic.
And I go by Anthony A.
Says it ever okay to snitch? I've said this before. I want to just let it be known. Don't do anything in front of me illegal, because I'm going to tell on you. I don't care.
I get that.
I'm not that person, you know. I'm not sitting here, people like Anthony, you said earlier, Tekashi grew up in hard times. So did I. Sometimes you have to look in the mirror and reflect on yourself and say, you know, I got to make good choices or bad choices. And when you make bad choices, you got to face those consequences.
You're
I'm
right.
Tell.
Here's where Tekashi messed up is he signed up for that life. When you commit to that code, mm-hmm. you're going to get dealt with by the people, you know, the way they handle the snitches. And that's on him, on that world. I've never committed to that. I have friends who have. I got friends who done time. But I'm not cut for that, because push come to shove, I'll probably be crying. I'm too pretty for prison, dog. Like, I ain't, you know.
See, I believe that if you CYA cover your you don't ever have to snitch on anyone.
Oh, explain, because, break that down, Automatic.
Because if you make sure that all your bases are covered, that you're taking care of all your things on your own, then you don't ever have to worry about what another man's doing and trying to and having to go and snitch on them.
But what if you get involved with the wrong people or something?
Well, if you were CYA covering your own ass, guess what? You wouldn't have to worry about those people, because you would have everything taken care of on your side.
Stupid.
I do feel badly for Tekashi. I can't lie, though. Like, you know, Anthony, you brought up his age and everything. There is all this temptation, right? When you live in a certain neighborhood and the only people that got money and cars and a cool clothes are the people slinging drugs or dancing in the clubs or whatever, you tend to idolize that life. Because that's all you see. When you're in that little world, that's it. But at the same time, you do get to a certain age and you do know right from wrong. Now, obviously, Tekashi knows he don't want to spend 47 years in prison. So now he's telling on everyone. Will he have a life after this?
Oh.
Is it okay that he snitched?
That's the part you got to live looking over your shoulder for the rest of your life. That's the life of a snitch. I mean, it's been going on since the 70s. Like, that's the life of a snitch.
Still don't know where Jimmy Hoffa's body is.
That's, like, you know, and, like, maybe that's the, like, the purgatory that you forever have to live in, is looking over your shoulder and not knowing if you're going to get dealt with.
That's not heaven or hell, right? You're just stuck in the middle. You think it's ever okay to snitch, DJ Automatic?
I'm trying to think of a time that I ever snitched. Okay, here's the situation I was in. When I first got into radio, there was a DJ that was competing with me for the 5 o'clock mix spot, which is a big, you know, it's a big mix spot. And the dude actually tried to frame me. We had a remote. I was DJing at a club. He was DJing at the club too. He brought one of the station vans and parked it in front of the club.
That you were DJing.
And that I was DJing at, and said that I went and stole the van and took it down to the club, and then called the boss and had the boss show up. And of course, the van's there. It's the middle of the night. It's not supposed to be there. And he tried to give me the keys while we're there. And I was like, I just had a feeling that something was going on.
Wait, hold on. So you're DJing. This guy goes and grabs this work truck and drives it to the club and says, you did it.
Exactly.
Wait, so you snitched on him?
I didn't snitch.
Well, what do you mean you didn't snitch?
So the boss shows up and they're like, why is the van here? Who brought this? What's going on? And I just said, well, you can figure out who did it by who has the keys.
Ooh. Oh.
So I didn't snitch because I never took the keys from him. He never brought me the keys.
What happened to him?
He got fired.
Stupid.
Don't snitch. Cover your ass.
There you go. CYA. All day, every day.
Write it down. Do something with that. That's the best advice you're going to get all day long. We'll be right back with more of the Dana Cortez Show. That's your debate, y'all.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Oh, this WTF starts out sad. A man divorced his wife, but the catch is She didn't even know about it. What the?
Pre-nope.
It's the Dana Cortez Show. What's up, everyone? I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
And I go by Anthony A.
So a Texas man wanted out of his marriage, and instead of going through a divorce proceeding like any other normal person, he faked his wife's signature on paperwork, in turn ending their union without her knowledge. Oh, my gosh. The man really wanted out of this marriage. Paul Nixon submitted forged documents and false information to a Houston district court.
Sounds like a smart man to me.
Smart? That's against the law.
He's avoiding all the arguments, all the legal fees. He's just getting it over with. And I'm sure he got more than half.
I didn't think about that. He got it all. Paul Nixon also reportedly committed perjury when testifying in court during a divorce hearing. He took it all the way to the judge. You guys understand this, right? The whole way. The constable's office started the investigation after Mrs. Nixon informed officials that the divorce had occurred without her ever knowing that it had been filed in the first place.
And this isn't like a regular breakup, right? Like, how long do divorces take? Like how?
I know Dana knows that.
You have to be legally separated for 6 months. I do know.
Oh.
I've been divorced twice. So then, listen to this. He thought he was smooth. The divorce has been tabled due to the perjury and fraudulent documents, and Harris County is currently searching for Mr. Nixon. He's wanted for aggravated perjury.
The judge is going to sentence him to 3 more years of marriage.
We'll be right back, y'all, with more of the Dana Cortez Show. That's your WTF story.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
A 19-year-old is now blind after eating only Pringles, fries, and white bread, and his mom is blaming the healthcare system. This is the Fat Club. It's the Dana Cortez Show. We do the Fat Club every Monday at this time. What's good, everyone? I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
And I go by Anthony A.
Just saying that, it makes me upset. Because I understand that in certain circumstances, there might be a lack of education. Something. There's something going on where someone doesn't understand. Maybe my child needs vegetables, whatever. But to just 100% take no accountability whatsoever for your son losing his sight and blaming the healthcare system when you let this kid eat junk food his entire life makes me angry. Where's the accountability, people?
I know we did this a couple weeks ago, but how did this kid exactly, he lost his sight.
What was his diet again?
It was just like
Pringles or potato chips. Pringles, he loved Pringles. Fries, white bread. Sometimes he'd eat like processed
So basically he had
meat.
Like a diet of starch.
There's no nutritional value in anything I just talked about.
And he legally went blind.
Blind.
Wow. Okay.
The dude can't see. Here's the audio of the mother. Listen to what she literally takes no responsibility whatsoever.
The vitamin A was the main one of his eye, which he was 14 times lower than the average that he should have had. But back in January when we was December, we was told it was down to nutrition. We think that if they had have started, like if they had have done the blood test then, realised the vitamin A was so low, they may have been able to give him the vitamin A injections then, and he could see a lot more out of that right eye, and we could have saved it a lot better. But now we just got to wait and see.
Why couldn't you have just given him some vitamins on your own? I mean, I'm like, chick, for real, it makes me upset. I'm very angry that this young man, who is obviously overweight, I'm throwing his photo up now, at Dana Cortez on Instagram, Dana Cortez Show on Facebook, and blind. No, don't look at me crazy, Automatic. What, are you scared? Because I said he's overweight?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm sure
what are you scared of?
How old is this kid again?
19.
Oh, okay.
His mother has
I was thinking it was like a younger kid.
It doesn't matter if he's younger.
And, like,
his
like,
mother
look how fat he is, and now
no,
he's blind.
His mother is doing interviews.
I was like, wow, that's kind of mean.
Am I mean or is she mean? That boy is blind.
Well, you're both a little mean on this one.
Absolutely not. I'm angry at the mother, not at the boy. And she's parading him around, doing all kinds of interviews and stuff. Like, it's not my fault. It's the doctor's fault.
What?
I get it, though, as a parent. You know, kids are picky eaters. But I've got some tips when we come back. 3 easy tips to help parents to get their picky eaters to eat good food. And an update on this 19-year-old's health status. Now, that's next. This is the Fat Club, the Dana Cortez Show. The Fat Club is what we do to discuss health and hopefully encourage other people to get healthy, lose weight. You know, this really disturbed me. It's a story of a 19-year-old dude that has lost his sight completely because his mother allowed him to eat nothing but Pringles, French fries, white bread, and occasional processed meat once in a while. And here she is, basically blaming the healthcare system.
The vitamin A was the main one of his eye, which he was 14 times lower than the average that he should have had. But back in January, when we was obviously, December, we was told it was down to nutrition. We think that if they had have started, like if they had have done the blood test then, realised the vitamin A was so low, they may have been able to give him the vitamin A injections then, and he could see a lot more out of that right eye, and we could have saved it a lot better. But now we just got to wait and see.
Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
So before we even start the healthy tips, I want to give you an update on the 19-year-old and his mom. So he can't finish his college courses. He can't get a job. And he hasn't changed his eating habits either.
What?
No, his mom says, you know, he does take vitamin supplements, but his diet is pretty much the same. When he was having counseling, we managed to start him on fruit smoothies, but he's quit those now too. I'm sorry, but...
She's an enabler.
Totally, 100%
enabler. I was
going to
say, this kid's a lost cause.
Don't tell me that it's not the mother's fault. I mean, I know earlier Automatic was like, oh, you're being mean. I'm not being mean. I'm not angry at this boy who's 19 now. Now he's a young adult. I'm angry that a parent would let it go this long and then blame the doctor for not giving him a blood test. Why didn't you give him a piece of broccoli?
Exactly.
God dang, woman. Like, I get it. Kids can be picky. But right now, the boy doesn't work. Who's feeding him? She is. She's feeding him a diet of crap. It's freaking abuse is what it is. If your child is a picky eater, you should offer healthy choices. Yes, choices are good. You can have a tomato. You can have some spinach. You can have some broccoli. You can have some asparagus. Oh, you don't like that? Ooh, you're going to be hungry.
I love asparagus. You know what mom did to introduce me to fruit, really?
What?
Not fruit, vegetables.
I'm like, asparagus and fruit at your house?
My mom, I wasn't really into vegetables either. Then she got me into stuffed bell peppers.
Oh like, my gosh. My mouth is watering thinking about a stuffed bell pepper.
Say what you want, but I feel like when it comes to like making sure your kids eat healthy, that's where you find out how good of a mom you are.
I mean, my parents, they always were like, if you want to have any sort of dessert, you have to finish all these vegetables. You have to clear your plate. And otherwise, ooh, you had no chance of ever getting any dessert.
That's why
you didn't have a chance to leave the table.
No, exactly.
You had to sit there.
I sat there for hours sometimes.
My nana would say, oh, you don't want anything? Cool. You're going to be hungry tomorrow. She wouldn't offer me anything
else. That's called parenting, though.
Yes. Number two, enjoy family meals together. This is super important because if you don't sit down at the table together, put the phones down, then there is opportunity for the child to overeat or eat what they should not be eating. This is hard for me myself because I worked hard. I want to go home, watch TV, whatever, you know, stream whatever movie. No, you've got to take that time and eat together as a family. And number one is cook together. Cook together as a family. Does it take a little more time? Yes. But you learn about food, and it's also bonding.
It also, the kid starts to take pride in what they're doing and what they're eating.
Absolutely. I'm posting these tips now for all the parents of picky eaters. All we want the Fat Club to do for you is to encourage you to be healthy. We'll be right back with more of the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Two claps and a Ric Flair on three. 3, 2, 1.
Woo!
There we go.
First try. Break out of the cut. Thank you. All right. So first of all, welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. That just kind of shakes things off, right? Kind of shakes off the weird feeling.
Yeah, makes me go, woo!
Yeah. Do a little sage in here and everything. So welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. Got it.
I didn't notice that. That's cool.
I think your friend was like, what is that? Because it.
He thought it was a giant blunt. Of course he did.
He was like, what is that? No, it's actually sage. So welcome to the Dana Cortez Show.
His friend who thought
is that you thought it too? So did you grow up in LA? Because I know you're there now. Did you grow up there?
Yeah, I grew up in Pasadena.
Okay, all right. How did you get into music? Like, what? When did you decide I want to be in music?
I grew up doing music. I grew up in the church. My dad was the choir director for the church, and my mom was a singer in the church. And then I started making music when I was like 12, 13 years old. It was just me and acoustic guitar. I just had to say things. I was an only child, and I didn't really talk to a lot of people, so I needed some way to...
Same. I get it.
You understand me.
I get it.
And then I started playing drums because of Video Game Rock Band when I was...
Oh, yeah. I remember, yeah.
when I was like, the same thing, like 12, my dad got it for me for Christmas, and I got to like X around 100%. And so when I sat down at a drum set, I could already kind of play. And so I was playing drums throughout all of high school. I was like in jazz band. I was in marching band. I was like the center snare, calling out all
the bands,
doing like the tricks and whatnot. And then I was also in like hardcore punk bands in high school. And then when I really decided I wanted to do music, it was around the time my mom passed when I was 15. She passed away from breast cancer. And that's when I knew like I wanted to do this. But so I was going to go to music school. I was going to go to Berklee College of Music for jazz drums. That's like a fancy.
So you're like a real musician. Yeah, I know.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, he plays different instruments and everything.
But that means you're super talented when it comes
to this. Yeah, I got in. It was just too expensive. Like, it's like 80 racks or something.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No way I could go there. I was good enough to get in, but not good enough for them to pay for me to go there.
You're like, no scholarship, though? What about the moment of your mom's passing? What do you think that at that instance you decided I want to do music? What was it about that moment? And I mean, that's very young to lose your mother, 15.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It was just like I had to grow up real quick, like then, and it was just something. And I was able to, because I was just doing dumb stuff for a while. Like, I was off the drugs. I was doing like little dumb stuff, like stealing hubcaps or whatever, like just doing like little.
You were
stupid
doing kid stuff. Yeah, I get it.
But, and I was doing that because I was trying to escape. But then when I really like started making music and diving into that, I was able to express myself. And I was through music, I was able to find things that I needed to find.
And say things maybe you needed to say?
Yeah, no. Well, through other people's music, I was able to find things.
Okay,
and then,
I see.
Like, what I wanted to do is I wanted to be able to create something that other people could find something.
Yeah. Who were some of those artists that helped get you through those?
In the very beginning, like when it was that stage in my life, the two like biggest artists or like biggest groups right then in my life that helped me was Green Day and Kendrick.
Oh, wow.
Those were the two big artists that, like, right there.
Sums up your sound.
That's what I was going to say. And you know, Kendrick really started writing and certain songs of his, he speaks openly about depression and the need to help other people, to help himself. So it's interesting that you would mention Kendrick in that. Do you feel like when your mother passed, that was a huge outlet for you? And do you feel like that's when you decided, I want to do this with my life, because maybe you took life a little more seriously? Or
yeah, like, again, like I said, I had to grow up and I wanted to do something. But what's crazy is, though, even though that's when I decided I wanted to do music, it wasn't until like I was 19 that I actually grew like the cojones to actually like go and like say, I'm not doing anything else and I'm actually just doing music. So I went to university for linguistics. I ended up going to university. It was actually in my freshman year in university, 2014, where I started making beats, because it was literally all just me like in hardcore punk bands and doing like more rock type music until that point. Even though I was listening to rap, that wasn't really what I was making. That's when I started making beats, because that's when like DJ Mustard was really popping.
Yeah.
So I just was like, boom, what DJ program or what beat program does he use? Reason. I download Reason. And I get all like the instructional videos and I start making beats. And that's when I started taking rap more seriously. But it wasn't until I was in Puerto Rico during doing a research program for computational linguistics, pretty much teaching computers how to understand mixed languages.
Right.
Which is like Spanglish. Spanglish is like English and Spanish at the same time. And so I was running an eye tracking laboratory out there, pretty much just hooking people up to these fancy glasses and like following sentences of Spanglish, and you'd follow their eyes to see what was like correct or incorrect. Because if it was something that was incorrect in their brain, they would like focus on it for a while. But if you like ask them, sometimes they'll give you the wrong answer because they didn't learn what was right or wrong.
And did you finish college?
No, I dropped out while I was in Puerto Rico doing that research. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I was able to see
more
of the world.
You weren't happy, maybe. You were I'm going
to
do what
cool,
I want to do.
I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And that was when, because I saw more of the world and I saw that there was different things, I just said.
So you grew up in the church and your dad, obviously, he said you was a part of. What did he think about you doing, dropping out of school and just doing music? And
well, my dad was really supportive of it, because my dad always wanted to do music, but he never figured out how.
Oh, okay.
It was mainly my mom that was like that, like earlier in my life was pushing me not to do music.
You understand why, though. I want to explain to you. It's not because she didn't believe in you.
Yeah, it's not because she's realistic.
Well, you're scared.
Well, it's pretty real now.
No, now it is.
But it's scary. As a mom, I have three beautiful daughters. I always want them to take the safe route because I don't want them to hurt. You know, so that's where mom was. You know, mom was just like, oh, my God, no, just be a doctor.
But well,
you know,
just be, no, you know. Literally, what my family was telling me is, oh, you know, doctors are in bands on the weekend.
yeah, which is not true. But but
well, I just think, you know, and also because you just from this moment that we're here with you now, like you're talented in other things. So I can see why she would be like, nah,
intelligent.
Man. Yeah.
Above average, and so I can understand she's probably like, you could do this, you could do music on the side. Yeah. I think your mother would be very proud of you. Have you written any music about her or for her?
Yeah, actually, it's not on, so I just dropped a project called Miscreant. The whole purpose of the project was to just kind of show people different aspects of my sound, because Fast, that's like the lead
that's
single.
That's the one that's been big, right?
Yeah,
that's
huge, the one that's been, though. It's huge.
It's pretty, I'm blessed.
Look at you smile. You're song. Like, I know.
It's like, he's like, that's how I bought these diamonds.
That is, literally. But the purpose of the project was to show people more like different sides of myself, because there's like a guitar song, like I said, more indie song.
Right.
There's like some more singing songs. There's like R&B songs. The whole purpose of that project was to kind of show people different sides of myself. But not in this project, but in the next one that I'm currently working on, the intro, what is going to be the intro song is kind of like a letter to my mom. Like, wow. That's like the next album. And it's crazy because like when I wrote that song, I wasn't even like thinking, oh, this is what I'm doing. It's just like, that's just how it came out.
It just happened from here.
Yeah, just for whatever reason, that's just what I created.
So who have you worked with and who do you want to work with? I mean, you're just really in the beginnings of what I think is going to be a great career. You know, I mean, you're extremely talented.
I think so.
So who have you worked with and who do you want to?
I mean, who I have worked with, I mean, obviously the Remix has Offset and A Boogie. So they're cool people.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then, but besides
that's kind
them,
of a big deal, too, to have them on the Remix.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. I'm blessed. Things are coming to fruition, but on the project, there's one. I have no features, and everything was produced in house by me and my people. But there's only
slow one. Down, J. Cole.
I feel like before I go into it, the only other outside producer we had was Ronnie J on 66305, that song, and he's real cool. He came over to the house. I have crossbows. We shot crossbows.
You just hung out with him. That's crazy.
Yeah. I want to shoot crossbows.
I have crossbows.
What do y'all shoot? Just shoot the trees and stuff or what?
I have like a target set up in the backyard. I have a really big backyard, surprisingly,
that is
for
so
LA.
Cool. I was going to say, they must have bought that house early. That's very rare to have a big backyard. So if you had any, and I try to ask this of young artists when they come in, because then when you circle back around, because you'll be back in the studio another day, but I want to know now, who's the one artist you, if I could give you the phone and say you can call anybody.
Kanye.
That you want to work with. I didn't even finish the sentence.
Yeah.
Kanye West, right now.
Yeah.
That's who you want to work with.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I feel like the way that he created music, it, because he's a producer at heart too, which I feel like I am. And it's the way he creates music, and it's just like, it's the cinematic experience. It's the same way with Travis Scott. It's like it's almost like when you hear it, you can't listen to it as background music. It, like, you have to pay attention.
You have to immerse yourself into the project.
Yeah, because it's just so out there, but it like makes sense. The production is what makes it crazy to me. And besides that, I like how he just doesn't care. He just doesn't care. He just does his own thing.
I think you will work with Kanye West one day.
Yeah, I think so too.
I would love to see you work with Ty Dolla $ign.
That'd be
like, you guys just sound like, I'm listening to all the things you say, the instruments you play, and it sounds like a conversation we had a couple years back with Ty Dolla $ign and everything that he was doing. And I know he has. I mean, has he ever influenced you? Because he's definitely in LA. And
yeah, no, I mean, like, I definitely listen to him a lot, and I met him a couple times. He's super cool. He's a super cool
guy.
He's a good
dude. Yeah.
Yeah, Ty's
he's a label me.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There we go.
Okay.
Here comes feature.
And I appreciate Kanye as an artist, but I'm not a fan of his, especially with his political.
Yeah.
I'm just done. Like,
Kanye,
I'm sorry.
I have officially joined the old, I'm a fan of the, bring the old Kanye
I miss
back.
The old Kanye.
For me,
real.
The old Kanye is up to the life of Pablo. And then.
What's crazy? My favorite Kanye album, everyone thinks I'm stupid, is Yeezus. That's my favorite Kanye album.
Well, I mean,
I don't think you're stupid.
Why?
Why Yeezus? Why do they think
why
I'm
Yeezus?
Stupid?
Why Yeezus? Why Yeezus?
I think because it's just so out there. Like the electronic sounds and the distortion, it was just so out there.
But
like,
you're a producer, so you listen to music differently.
For the music, yes.
He listens like that. He's
I'm
a DJ,
music too,
he does music.
And I agree with you 100% on Kanye. And I like exactly what you say, but I don't like his political views. I don't get down, but I can separate how he feels about certain things and his music. I like his music.
I'm pretty sure he just says things just to create controversy.
And that's the other thing. He just wants to be top of mind.
I agree. He does say things to cause controversy, but words have consequences. And we got kids being separated, you know, but from their families and stuff. And I can't support that.
And sometimes I feel like with the last rollout that they did, all the static that he created and all the things he said to cause the commotion and get the attention overshadowed the music.
True.
Which was just hella frustrating. But yeah, nevertheless, I would love to see you work with him because after listening to Fast a couple times and then what you guys have, yeah, that sounds
well,
amazing.
Well, and one of the things, too, is like I remember we first interviewed Post Malone. He started working with Kanye. He met Kanye at a this is before the whole Red Hat thing. He met Kanye at a Kylie Jenner party. I mean, you guys are right there. You're in the same vein, so it might end up happening for you. So good luck.
I got a question because in growing up in L.A., right, a lot of musicians move to L.A. to upstart their career or whatever. Yeah. But you came up growing up through that. How was it as a local kid in L.A.? Did the city support?
No.
It's the same as any other city, right?
I mean,
it's
just like you popped off on TikTok, right?
Yeah, I blew up because of social media. I knew literally almost nobody before all this came off. Like, blowing up, like, coming up in L.A. is hard because literally nobody wants to help you until you're already on.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's every city, though. Don't feel disgruntled. Don't feel disheartened because by the time everybody wants to help you, you don't need it anymore.
Exactly.
They need you.
Yeah.
So just remember these little beginnings. And Marty will tell you, it's relationships. And you always have to maintain them. And you always have to treat people the way you want to be treated. And you have to be good to people. J. Cole's taking us backstage. At this point in his career, he has no reason to do that whatsoever anymore. But he realizes relationships
matter.
Are everything. Yeah. They matter.
Relationships. What's up with you, dog?
Yeah, you got a girlfriend.
How you on these roads, bro? I see the squad out here.
Yeah, we got the whole team of guys.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Do I have a girlfriend? No, I don't have a girlfriend right now.
I don't think you need one right now.
You don't have time
right
or what?
There's this one girl that I'm talking to. She's pretty cool, but she's not my girlfriend.
She's pretty cool.
Do you have a name?
I'm not going to remember. I'm not saying no information about this girl.
I got some champagne. We got Taco Bell.
Sounds romantic.
You're like, sounds like my last date with her. Yeah. So how'd you meet her? Is she from L.A. or is she like?
Yeah, she's from L.A. We just met at this one get-together.
You define.
I don't want to get
a get together.
He don't
want
to go into it.
He don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to.
Why are you getting all blushy and getting all bashful on us?
Because girls are weird.
Mm-hmm. I get it. You're not trying to make her think that she's your girlfriend. She's just hanging out right now, right?
It's a situation.
Yeah, let's just leave it like that right now.
Let me tell you something right now. He likes her.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't like her, he wouldn't be like worried about it.
Let's offset this conversation.
Yeah.
The remix. How did that come about, bro?
Okay, so yeah, so like after the song started blowing up on TikTok, obviously all the labels started reaching out. That's when all the labels started reaching out. We started taking meetings, getting offers, and then we ended up going with Atlantic. They're real good people at Atlantic. And then, look at you.
Professional camera guy.
Yeah. But they wanted to do a remix, so we put together a list of people that we thought would be cool, and then we started reaching out to people, and Offset and A Boogie were down, and they got on it, and boom, that's how it happened.
I just appreciate you coming in here. I know you've been on this run. We ran into him
last night in
Dallas. We're all back here exhausted, literally, you know, exhausted. This is only the beginning for you. What I know you have a lot of fans on social media. So what would you say to your fans today? And then when we come back, like I'm telling you, in years to come, you got to listen to what you say. So what's your message to your fans right now?
just be positive and do what you want to do and make sure you do it the best that you can.
Because you took that leap. You said something about your dad that really stuck with me. You said, my dad couldn't figure out how to do it. All you did was do it, right?
Yeah.
You let go of the fear. Or you didn't let go of it. You just went with that, yeah. What you wanted, regardless of the fear.
Yeah. You're never going to stop like feeling that fear, but it's just like almost like embracing it and just running with it and having it fuel you. And then like, well, because how to manifest things is you have to accept things as they are and then look at what you have and then work from there. And that was the biggest thing that helped me was I looked at what I had and I worked from there. I didn't think, oh, I'm missing this. Oh, I'm missing this. I looked at, okay, well, what do I have? And then you use those things strategically to get the next thing that you need. And then you keep moving from there.
I love that. All right. Well, congratulations on everything. And I wish you many, many years of success. We'll see you again soon.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see each other.
All right. Swaco, y'all. Woo! It's the Dana Cortez Show. Ow!
Fast. 400 on the dash. 55 bills, but 50 for the taste on the bag.